Experts say the Titan sub's unconventional design may have destined it for disaster.
Yeah.
Really? You don't say, huh? No shit. No shit. So, you've all heard about this story already, obviously. I don't think there's anybody out there on the planet, even some dude in the middle of the fucking Afghan desert has heard about this shit. It's been everywhere. It's been all over the fucking news. The Titan sub that sunk and imploded. Of course, the sinking part was intentional to get down to the depth that crushed it. The crushing part, though, that was not intended. Or maybe it was, because frankly speaking, this design, even a moron, even somebody who knows very little about engineering, little to nothing, the average dude, would have known that this is a bad idea. And yet, the guy that built this fucking thing, he thought it was a good idea. Thought it was a good idea! Anyway, before I get into this story, I'd like to ask those of you out there that like and appreciate the raw red pill nature of my content to please go check out my BitChute channel, bitchute.com/TheRealistPhilosopher. That's bitchute.com/TheRealistPhilosopher. You will find more than 1,600. That's 1,600 plus pieces of content there to date. So please go check that out, bitchute.com/TheRealistPhilosopher. I think you'll have a lot of fun, a lot of red pills, a lot of laughs. So, go check it out. All right, so the deadly implosion. So, what's an implosion? So, it's the opposite of an explosion. Instead of going boom outward, it got crushed. Essentially. Boom inward, you could say. Of the Titan submersible raises questions. Yep. About whether the vessel exploring the Titanic wreckage. Is that even a good idea? The Titanic is wreckage for a reason. Let's go explore a wreck that was wrecked in waters that wrecked it in an experimental vehicle. And we're going to take that experimental vehicle down there and we're going to experiment with it by taking passengers along with us. Now, I got no problem if you want to risk your own fucking life and be a doofus, be a moron, be an idiot, and lock yourself up. And they did lock themselves up, by the way. This sub didn't have an exit entrance that you yourself, that the passengers could open. Had like 18 fucking bolts. They were bolted from the outside to close it up, so, you know, you couldn't get out. By the way, only 17 of those bolts were bolted. The 18th bolt, it was difficult to bolt, so, you know. The guy that built this was like, never mind. No big deal. That 18th bolt isn't needed. It's a bit of a pain to you know, torque that thing anyway, so just don't worry about it. Yet that was his attitude. About everything, it seems, including safety. So about whether the vessel exploding the Titanic wreckage was destined for disaster. Yeah. Like I said, risk your life. Risk the life of other people who understand the risks and are being paid to be there and who haven't been misled in any way. Risk your life with people that know all the risks, who aren't just like goober idiots that trust you. Based upon an argument from authority fallacy. Well, he built a sub, and he's taken it down there, and he's had successful dives before, so I'm going to trust him. Yeah, bad idea. I got no problem if you want to risk your own fucking life, but you're risking the lives of fucking regular, everyday goober people who know nothing about this shit. You're basically taking advantage of them and using them as experimental guinea pigs, essentially, to test your experimental sub that you don't really want to even use for diving to explore wrecks, but you actually want it to be adopted by the gas and oil industry to explore new possible drilling sites underwater. Yeah. So it was destined for disaster because of the unconventional design of its and its creator's refusal to submit to independent checks that are standard in the industry. So this guy, he didn't want it to be submitted for independent checks and be under any regulatory body because he knew it was going to fail. I think that so he built this thing out of carbon fiber. So for any of you out there that know anything about carbon fiber, it's a laminate. And it's very strong in certain contexts. Okay, for example, like, I guess the tensile strength, you know, but it's not got very good compression. It works very well for expansion, but it's not very good for compression. Like, if you were to use it as a compression tank for, say, oxygen or something, it would work very well for that. But if you're going to use it for the hull of a fucking sub to resist crushing forces, it's very, very bad for that. I think it's got a half to a third of the flexibility of steel and titanium. That's not good. Because if you're going to have the hull of a submarine, or any ship for that matter, but especially a sub that is, you know, under more pressure, the deeper you go, you want it to have some give, you want it to have some flex, so as to be able to be warned as to, you know, it failing, it being the hull. So it's very easy to tell if it's under greater stress and at risk of failing and when it's going to fail, because these materials are contiguous and you can test them under non-destructive conditions to know when their failing point is, and then you can install sensors that will tell you how much the hull is actually being compressed, how much it's deforming, and you actually know at what point it's going to fail. And at what depth, it would have those kind of pressures pushing on the hull, pounds per square inch. So you know how deep you can go. But with this sub, you can't. You don't know. Now, of course, this Dr. Rush said that he, you know, installed some kind of revolutionary, you know, audio sensor that would tell him when it was going to fail. Yeah, it'd give him like 3 micro fucking seconds of warning. Because the thing about carbon fiber, it doesn't give you warning as to when it's going to fail. The moment you start hearing cracking, you're dead. You hear cracking, what? Dead. dead. Alarms are going off. Dead. There's no warning. Oh, well, you know, we've got this advanced audio warning system, and if we start to hear, we can start to ascend. Now, you got like 3 microseconds, motherfucker. You ain't got no Starfleet warp drive in this motherfucker, and even if you did, you couldn't use it underwater, bitch. You can move like, what, 5 miles an hour, motherfucker? And that's forward back. You can't go up that fast. I don't think. You get the bends or some shit, I don't know. It would take hours to go down from that depth up to the fucking surface. You ain't got hours. In fact, by the time you hear that, dead. So it's not the same as with a contiguous material. And by the way, this fucking sub was made of 3 different materials. All the other subs, there's like 10 of them that can dive to this depth, they got one material. Like titanium, steel, acrylic. And most of them are spheres or some kind of diamond shape. What this motherfucker make it out of? What? Carbon fiber and titanium and acrylic? That's a problem. You want to know what the problem with that is? They all compress at different rates. They all respond to pressure in different ways. Also, this motherfucker... Let me explain something to you. This is kooky, man. This is some kooky shit. This motherfucker glued this sub together. It was glued together, bitch! This fucking sub was glued together. And you're like, nah, realist, you're joking. Come on, you fucking pulling our legs. Now I'm pulling your legs. This fucking thing was glued together. That's how those two end caps. So this was a big giant hot dog, essentially. And the two ends were titanium. And they were glued on to the carbon fiber. That's a problem. Anybody out there know anything about glue? Well, where's the weakest point on a constructed item that's glued? At the joints, where the glue is? Yeah! Especially when you're talking about dissimilar materials. Now, maybe you can make an argument in certain circumstances, like, well, you know, wood that's glued together at certain joints, if it's built right and used the right glue, is actually stronger at those joints. Yeah, those are contiguous materials, number one. That's a very special circumstance, number two. That doesn't come into play here when you're using non-contiguous materials. We are talking about 6,000 pounds. We're almost 6,000 pounds per square inch on the surface of this fucking hull of this submarine. If you added up all those square inches, you're talking millions upon millions upon millions of fucking pounds crushing this thing. Well, where's the weakest point at? The joints! I'm not even going to get into the fucking 18 bolts. No, excuse me, 17, because one of them was difficult to torque down. Not even going to get into that! Or the fact, and another thing, a real problem with this fucking sub, the porthole. The 7-inch thick acrylic porthole that was in the end of one of these titanium pieces. of one of these titanium end caps that was attached to the carbon fiber with glue. It was only rated for 1,300 meters. 1,300 meters. The acrylic was rated for 1,300 motherfucking meters. You want to know how deep they went? 4,000. 3,800, excuse me. So they went three times deeper than the acrylic porthole was rated for. And Stockton Rush was like, oh, well, you know, it's not a big deal because there'll be warning. You'll hear crackling before it gives way. Yeah, you'll hear crackling as it's cracking, bitch. And you're dead. There'll be crackling. If you hear that crackling, that's not a warning. You're dead. What the fuck? It's rated for 1,300 feet. You're taking it down to 1,300 meters. It's like 4,000 feet. And you're taking it down to 12,500 feet. That's a problem. That's a problem. But he didn't think it was a problem. This arrogant fucker. All right, enough. Let's get into the story more, and I'll address specific points in the story. Although I guess I addressed most of them there in my rant. Anyway, this story just pisses me the fuck off. All five people aboard the Titan died when it was crushed near the world's most famous shipwreck. Yeah, crushed. Predictably so, I might add. U.S. Coast Guard Rear Admiral John Mauger is the guy that lied for a week and said that, they got 90 hours of oxygen left. They got 75. They got 10 hours of oxygen left. Don't they can still be alive? No, I already know they're dead, but Biden's officials told me to lie so that they could stretch the story out for as long as possible and distract the public from the Hunter Biden slap on the wrist for his tax evasion. Said Thursday, bringing an end to a massive multinational search. You know what they were searching? They were searching everywhere else but where the sub was last reported to be, because they didn't want to find it. Because they wanted to keep the story going as long as possible that these people could possibly be alive. Meanwhile, if they actually found the wreckage and they knew where it was the whole fucking time, then the story would be over and people might pay attention to the Biden's corruption. That began Sunday when the vessel lost contact with its mothership in the unforgiving North Atlantic. Yeah. The Titan, yeah, it's unforgiving, but this guy thinks it's forgiving. Owned and operated by Ocean Gate Expeditions, owned and operated by Stockton Rush and a small elite group of moron investors. First began taking people to the Titanic in 2021. Yeah. At which point it had like numerous failed missions. It had more failed missions than it had successful missions. On one mission, one of the brilliant 19-year-old, 20-year-old engineers put one of the propellers on backwards. So they went down to the Titanic. They were at 12,500 feet, and the sub was just spinning around until Stockton Rush somehow found a way to link up to Elon Musk's Starlink and download a patch that allowed him to change the mapping of the Game Boy controller that he used to control the sub, the $20 controller that he bought at fucking Walmart to control the sub so that he could remap it and change the mapping of the controls so he could then control the sub to get them back up to the surface. And if he hadn't done that, they would have died. It was touted for a rubier cylinder shape. A cylinder shape also makes it more susceptible to the crushing forces that come from the pressure of all of those thousands of feet of ocean water above you. Cabin made of a carbon fiber. That's why most subs are cylindrical or diamond-shaped and not very long and are maybe one- or two-person subs at most. A departure from the sphere-shaped cabins made of titanium used by most submersibles. Yeah, there's a reason. There's a reason that most submersibles are made from spheres and one contiguous material, because it would compress all at the same rate. The sphere is the perfect shape because water pressure was exerted equally on all areas, correct? Said Chris Roman, a professor of the University of Rhode Island's Graduate School of Oceanography. Roman had not been on the Titan, but has made several deep dives in Alvin, a submersible operated by the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute in Massachusetts. Yes, one that has passed numerous safety checks, I might add. And by the way, the hull on the Titan, it could have been tested with ultrasound. But Stockton Rush didn't want to do that. You know why? Well, it cost $20,000. I wanted all the money! $250,000 a pop, yo! didn't want to spend 20 grand each mission to test the hull of this submersible. I mean, they'd be losing so much money. I'm making $750,000, $20,000 of that going to safety? Oh, no. That's all I care about is money. And I've got all this hubris and arrogance, so I think I'm indestructible. And that I know everything, even though I know very little about diving subs. And all of my engineering experience has to do with planes, which is a completely, totally different sphere. Oh, jeez, makes me think of all these intellectual morons out there who have opinions about politics, even though they're in a completely, totally different discipline. Like that Noam Chomsky moron has the worst fucking takes on planet Earth, but everybody listens to him because he's such a genius in linguistics. Yeah, I don't know what the hell that has to do with politics. But anyway, the 22-foot-long hot dog, 6.7 meters, 23,000 pounds, Titan's larger internal volume, while still cramped, it could take 5 seated people, man. Means they were subjected to more external pressure. Correct, because it was a fucking hot dog. It was a cylinder. Not a great design. You might say, well, realist, that's how the Navy makes their subs. Yeah, yeah, and the strongest, most reliable sub can't even go down to 4,000 feet. Okay? And yet this thing, in the Navy's arsenal, yet this thing was going down to 12,500. Elongating the cabin space in a submersible increases pressure loads in the midsections. Also allows you to have more people on it so you can make more money. Which increases fatigue and delamination loads, said Jasper Graham Jones, an associate professor of mechanical and marine engineering at the University of Plymouth in the United Kingdom. Yeah. You know, Stockton Rush would have just said to this guy, you're just too obsessed with safety. You're being overly safe. While at the same time, this idiot is making appeals to authorities saying, there's never been an implosion. Diving subs is super safe. What are you worried about? Yeah, it's super safe because there's tons of regulations and there's regulatory bodies and there's licensing, you idiot, that you ignored and didn't have applied to your sub, but you using that as an appeal to authority to justify your dives. Fatigue, he said, is like bending a wire back and forth until it breaks. Delamination, it's like splitting wood down the grain, which is easier than chopping across the grain. Aren't these carbon fibers, by the way, held together with epoxy, with resin? They lay the fibers down on top of each other with resin sandwiched in between. That doesn't sound very contiguous at all. I mean, I would think that across that structure, there would be a lot of variation, even on a micro level in strength. And that's all you need when you're talking about pressures of like 6,000 pounds per square fucking inch to create a weakness, to create a stress point, which will then cause a fracture, which will then cause that motherfucker to fail. Oh, but don't worry. Stockton Rush says it's safe. Even though he has submitted this sub to no testing of any kind. Furthermore, the Titan's 5-inch thick. Who cares? It's 5 inches thick. Ay, vey, it could be 5 inches thick of cardboard. Does that mean it's strong because it's 5 inches thick? 12.7 centimeters, hull had been subjected to repeated stress. Right, yeah. It hasn't failed yet, yeah. Hasn't failed until it fails. That's right. And it only took 7 dives, by the way, yo. There's examples of deep water subs that have dived hundreds of fucking times and not failed. But this could only make it 7 times. And by the way, there's reports that Stockton Rush heard crackling in prior dives and he ignored it. Well, that's normal. That's just the carbon fiber hull cracking a bit. Nothing to worry about. Nothing to see here. It been subjected to repeated stress. Yeah, over about 24 previous dives. Yeah. 24, but only 7 of them actually made it down to the Titanic. You know why? Because more than 2/3 of those dives had operational problems. Failing comms, failing electrics. Oh, spinning around and around in a motherfucking circle because some idiot installed one of the motors wrong? Backwards, essentially? Yeah, yeah. But we don't need no 50-year-old white men on this mission. You mean experts? Yeah. We want diversity. Diversity is our strength, huh? Until it kills you. Until you apply it somewhere where it really matters. Yeah. Each trip would put tiny cracks in the structure. This might be small and undetectable. Unless you were doing ultrasound, you can scan the structure with ultrasound. But again, $20,000, you know, that's too much to ensure that everybody lives. This might be a small and undetectable, but would start becoming critical and produce rapid and uncontrollable growth. Yeah. Crackling! You'll hear crackling before it fails. Will you? You might not hear anything. You're just dead. Or you get promoted to Titan's carbon fiber construction. Not that the crackling would warn you of anything, because you're dead at that point. With titanium end caps as lighter in weight and more efficient to mobilize than other deep diving submersibles. More efficient to mobilize? I mean, I don't know that that's a selling point. I don't know what he means by this. More efficient to mobilize. How? I mean, a heavier sub, you could just, you know, be pulling it along outside of the mothership, like a dinghy or some shit. How is this more, by the way, that's not a much of an argument. Is it safer to mobilize? No, it's much less safe. Well, we can dive it quicker. Oh, okay, you can essentially die faster. Great. Wonderful selling point. It also said the vessel was designed to dive 4 kilometers with a comfortable safety margin. But carbon composites have limited life. Yeah. Didn't he buy this on the cheap? Wasn't this made for the aerospace industry? What wasn't the hull of this like a, you know, garbage from like Boeing or some shit? I mean, did he even have it made specially for this sub? I thought he bought this on the cheap as like scrap. Didn't he buy this carbon fiber hull? Because it was originally made to be used for a plane or some shit, he bought it on the cheap or something. I don't know. Or did he have it specially made? I could swear it was made for like an aircraft or something. I don't know. But either way, it's the wrong material for a submarine. Again, it's great for expansion, like an airplane, where you have a pressurized hull and you're dealing with vacuum, and you know, you're dealing with expansion forces in regards to the pressure inside the hull of the airplane. It's very bad when you have external pressures, though. It's extremely poor when it comes to crush stress. Extremely poor. Yeah, they have a limited life. They're subject to excessive loads, yeah, which leads to stress concentrations. Yeah. And the surface is not very homogeneous. The structure is not very homogeneous. There's differentials between the integrity and the strength of the individual carbon fibers, not to mention the resin, which would be almost impossible to apply the exact amount across the entire surface of the laminate that you are creating, whatever form it might take. So lots and lots of issues. Yes, composites are extremely tough. Yes, composites are extremely long-lasting. But we do have issues with composites and the fact that composites fail in slightly different ways than other materials. Also, there's the fact that this idiot used numerous different materials in his sub, and that's a big no-no when it comes to submarines. OceanGate was also warned that a lack of third-party scrutiny of the vessel during development could pose catastrophic safety problems. Well, you know, the industry is just overly safe, you know. If you just want to be safe all the time, you don't even go out your door. You wouldn't get in your car. You wouldn't drive anywhere or do anything. No, that's an extreme. So he's saying that because the sub-industry, in his opinion, is overly cautious, we should be overly incautious. I kind of think there would be a middle ground. He didn't seem to think so, though. I'm sure he thought that he was finding some moderate middle position. Yeah, a moderate middle position that involves absolutely positively no testing of any fucking kind, third party or otherwise, in regards to safety, and adopting measures for building this sub that are 100% outlawed in the mainstream submarining community, like using dissimilar materials to build the fucking sub, or having joints glued together! Oh, but it's super duper glue! Yeah, okay, pal. Or using acrylic portholes that are only rated for 1/3 the depth that you're going down. But in his mind, that was being moderate in his safety concerns. Now, I think it was being extremely incautious, but hey, what do I know? OceanGate was also warned that I read that. David Lockridge, OceanGate's then director of marine operations, said in a 2018 lawsuit, this is the 50-year-old white guy at the time. Yeah. This is who Stockton Rush was talking about. We don't need no 50-year-old white guys telling us what to do. This is the guy. And a 2018 lawsuit said that the company's testing and certification was insufficient. Right. Didn't this dude work for, like, the Navy? Wasn't he, like, a naval submariner or something? Said he would fucking know. Oh, well, we don't need to listen to him. He's a 50-year-old white guy. If he was a 50-year-old black guy or black broad, even better. Well, then I would pay heed to what he, she, it, they were saying. But 50-year-old white guys? No. They only got to that position of prominence of being an expert because of their inherent white privilege. Oh, okay. Was insufficient. Yeah. And would subject passengers to potential extreme danger in an experimental submersible. That's another problem. This was an experimental vehicle. It wasn't tested. 7 dives? With the hull continuing to fail ever more, Stockton Rush himself again said he heard crackling. That's okay, though. So he advocated for non-destructive testing, such as ultrasonic scans, as I mentioned earlier. The company refused, because $20,000 is too much to insure the lives of people on a mission that they're being paid $750,000 for. Ah, I see. Ultrasonic testing can help spot areas inside the structure where the composites are coming apart. Right. Said Neil Couture, executive director of a professional organization called the American Society for Non-Destructive Testing. Once this thing is going down and going under stress, it'll affect those materials. It'll affect those composites. Non-destructive testing is how you would then assess those structures and say, okay, they're still viable. They're still susceptible. The Marine Technology Society, an organization of ocean engineers, technologists, policymakers, and educators, also expressed concern to OceanGate about the size of the Titan. It's too long. The construction material, and the fact that the prototype wasn't being examined by a third party. That's okay, because the cops can just police themselves, don't you know? They don't need any third party investigative body to investigate them. We were very afraid that without the certification process, they might be missing something, you think? Will Conan, the organization's chairman, said Friday. He sent a letter to the company in 2018, as far back as that, 5 years ago, warning that his current experimental approach could result in negative outcomes. It's a kind way of putting it, from minor to catastrophic. That would have serious consequences for everyone in the industry. Are they just being overly safe? They're just being overly safe because, you know, you can be too safe when it comes to people's lives. Graham Jones said it's standard procedure in engineering is to seek out expertise and to ensure that vessels conform to the highest industry standards. Well, he's not part of that industry. You know? He looks down on that part of the industry. He don't care what that industry has to say. They're all overly cautious. In 2019, a company blog post, OceanGate, criticized the third-party certification process as one that is time-consuming and stifles innovation. Yeah. Right. Bullshit. Total bullshit. Let me see if I can translate. Stockton Rush was not rich enough and not interested enough and not really conscientious enough, and he was so arrogant, that to build the sub correctly. A well-built sub that can go down to those depths dozens or even hundreds of times would cost $40, $50 million. This guy was worth $12 million. He had to do it on the cheap. That's it! He did it on the cheap! Parts of this sub were from Camper World. He bought the fucking cameras on the outside of the hub from Walmart or some shit. They were over-the-counter CCTV cameras, yo! What the fuck? He spent very little money to build this fucking sub. Was it even $1 million? Maybe if you throw in labor. So he built it on the super cheap. But he didn't want to say that. So he has to tout it as revolutionary. It's revolutionary. Now that's just cope, motherfucker. No, it's not revolutionary. You're just a cheap bastard. You weren't rich enough to build it in the correct, the proper way. All you cared about was money. You're so arrogant. You're so arrogant that you thought you could do a better job than the people that have been in this fucking industry decades and who have combined knowledge that is centuries of time. Oh, but I can do better. No, you really can't. A stifles innovation. No, that's just an excuse. Bringing an outside entity up to speed on every innovation before it was put into real-world testing is anathema to rapid innovation, the boss said. Yeah. Well, it's kind of important that you survive also so that you can innovate. I mean, if you're dead, you're not innovating anything, you moron. Famed undersea explorer Rob. By the way, how the fuck is using carbon fiber innovative? It's not innovative. It's like the worst possible material you could choose. Oh, but it's very cheap. Meanwhile, building this thing out of one contiguous material, like titanium, would cost a fucking fortune. Huh? So I'm going to justify my use of cheap materials by calling it revolutionary. Yeah, get the fuck out of here. Famed undersea explorer Robert Bullard, who first located the Titanic in 1985, called the lack of outside certification classification a smoking gun and the vessel's failure, derp derp. We've made thousands and thousands and thousands of dives with other countries as well as to those steps and have never had an incident, right? Because they focused on safety. Oh, but we were innovative. Yeah, how many times could you dive down to the wreck of the Titanic? 7. And then our sub imploded. Of course, you can't say that because you're dead. What innovation is that? That's not innovation. So the guy's basically conflating what he's doing with being innovative to cover up for the fact that he's just a cheap fucking bastard and that his sub is a piece of crap built from spare parts from Camping World and the fucking salvage yard. I can't believe people bought this. They got billionaires to get on this thing. And I would think that to be a billionaire, you're going to be pretty smart. Apparently not. Apparently not. Titanic director James Cameron, who has made multiple descents to the wreck, said that there are several possible reasons for the submersible's destruction. It was a piece of garbage, it was junk, it was cheaply built, you name it. There were no safety measures, no safety tests. You didn't know what the point of failure was. You couldn't measure the point of failure in any accurate way because it wasn't made out of one contiguous material. I mean, there's so many reasons this thing failed. But the most likely is a failure of the composite hull. Question is, was it the primary failure or secondary from something else happening? Hard to say. Since these people have been turned into a slurry, there's... can't even look at their bodies and say, oh, well, this force or that force. I mean, good Lord. Or secondary. He told Good Morning America on Friday, and I'm putting my money on the composite material because you don't use composites for vessels that are seeing external pressure. Correct! Is that it? And there's the sub... it looks like a teardrop, but that's just like a sheet metal covering underneath is the other titanium end cap. So this is like the worst, but see those motors there with the rotors? Yeah, there's two on the sides, one on the left, one on the right, and then there's two that go up and down to assist in diving and to assist in ascending. And I believe the one on the left side of that sub was put on backwards. I don't know how the fuck you do that. I don't think a 50-year-old white guy would have made that mistake, but apparently the 20-year-old doofus that they had bolt the engine on, put it on backwards, and the sub was just spinning. And again, Stockton Rush had to somehow, from 12,000 feet underwater, get a link to Elon Musk's Starlink and download a fucking patch to allow him to remap. Oh, the remap! The game controller that he used to control the sub so that he could then stabilize it, correct it, and ascend safely. Which ruined the trip, by the way, for whoever was on that, because it took like 3-4 hours, and they didn't really get to explore the remains of the Titanic during that trip because of that fuck-up, and so the people that paid $250,000 on that particular expedition lost their fucking money. Not that it matters anyway, because the LED monitors that they bought from fucking Best Buy that were on this fucking sub, connected to the CCTV cameras on the outside that were bought from Camper World or Walmart... would allow you to see the Titanic only on the LED screen. So what the fuck are you diving down to 12,500 feet anyway if you're only able to view the fucking Titanic on LED screens? You can just look at it on your fucking computer. Same fucking difference, and you save $250,000. So what are you diving down to begin with for? Oh, clout. Bragging rights. Oh, I dived down to 12,500 feet and saw the Titanic. Yeah. Did you actually see it? I saw it on a little LED screen. From Walmart. 1280p, baby. Ooh. I wonder, were these screens, were they 4K? Were they even 4K? I mean, these were commercial CCTV cameras, yo. I mean, how many K was these fucking LEDs? I don't get it. I don't get it, man. Who the fuck is paying $250,000 to get on a fucking sub to go down to 12,500 feet to see something, and then they can only see it on a fucking LED? We have readers for us, you know, a porthole made out of acrylic. It's like a little tiny porthole the size of your fucking head. You can barely see anything. You're down 12,500 feet. It's pitch fucking black. Oh, well, the sub had 40,000 lumen lights. How long did they run those? Since you got to conserve power at that depth. And how much can you actually see using those lights? Very little. It's just so stupid. You got to be a stupid motherfucker to get on a submarine made out of dissimilar fucking materials. I am not a materials engineer. But even I know that you don't make something out of carbon fiber that has to resist crush forces. Certain materials are best used in specific situations. You need contiguous materials. This is why submarines don't have portholes, by the way. Those are weak points. They also don't have glued together joints. Generally, they're welded. This fucking thing had bolts. Yeah, like a fucking coffin, yo, which this ended up being. And if you want to know what happened to these people, how they died, well, the sub would have quickly compressed within about 3 milliseconds, thereby superheating the air to about the temperature of the sun, which would have essentially cooked everybody inside to a nice crispy brown before they were torn to pieces by the pressures that were rushing in, and the speed and the force that these pressures are rushing in would essentially liquefy them to a pulp. And, you know, there might be a foot bone left here or there, and not much else. Especially not skulls, because there's air cavities inside your head too, yo. So you'd be torn apart. Your body would essentially be reduced to a slurry. And, you know, there's not much to find, because whatever might be left would be eaten by whatever little creatures living down at that depth. And there are creatures living at those depths. So you're a meal for an octopus, whatever's left of you, which ain't much. So there you go. There you go. The genius, the brilliance of Stockton Rush, who started out his career as a pilot. And what was it? Was he an aerospace engineer? And he got a fucking degree in aerospace engineering. And he was so arrogant as to believe that his experiences in aerospace engineering would lead him to be able to build wonderful, beautiful, fully functional, sturdy subs that would handle the depths of 4,000 meters that only a handful of subs have been built to date can handle. Built by 50-year-old white guys. The industry is overly safe. It's overly safe. And I'm going to make appeals to authority. I'm going to appeal to that overly safe industry to justify the building of my unsafe sub. I'm not appealing. I'm not building this sub to their standards, but I'm going to appeal to their standards to justify my standards. Wow. Who keeps saying this guy was a fucking genius? He sounds like a gigantic moron. Didn't he inherit most of his money? He inherited most of it. And he made a little on investing, but the majority of it came from like his parents or his grandparents or some shit. Big shocker. Anyway, let me know what you think of Mr. Stockton Rush and his cigar-shaped hot dog submarine that broke all the rules, but in a logical way. Well, the rules exist for a reason, meathead. They usually conform to reality, and in terms of safety, breaking the rules, probably not a good idea, especially in an experimental vehicle. But hey, let me know what you think of this story, and please like and subscribe to my BitChute channel if you have not already. BitChute.com/TheRealestPhilosopher. That's BitChute.com/TheRealestPhilosopher. Go check it out. Like, subscribe, leave a comment. Do it, bitches!